Well, hey, we are back with day two of Waker Tree. Guys, give yourself a round of applause. Come on. I mean, hasn't this been amazing? It's been awesome, right? Pretty awesome. Well, hey, we are so excited for this message tonight and what we got planned after. But before we do that, I'm going to say a quick prayer. I know we just prayed, but just to set the tone of our time, I'd love to just pray. So bow your heads really quick with me. Lord, thank you that your love is uncomplicated. Lord, thank you that you love us simply and the gospel never gets old. I pray we'd understand that. I pray we'd set our hearts to be reminded of that in the short time that we have to study your word. I pray you remind us of something new. Even if we heard it before, we'd say, hey, I need to hear this again. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, hey, I want to share with you guys a little bit about my college experience. And so I went to the greatest college in the world, okay? Let me finish, okay? I want to finish University of Oklahoma. Come on! I love it. We got some Sooner fans out here. Okay, quiet down. I'm going to talk a little bit about Oklahoma because I'm about to roast Oklahoma, so it's okay. But hey, Oklahoma is an amazing school. I'm sorry, without a doubt, it's a great school. But hey, Oklahoma as a state, terrible state. I'm sorry if you're from there. There is nothing to do in Oklahoma. It's like going to your grandma's house. You're like, there's nothing really to do here, right? Oklahoma is just not that great of a state. And there's just not a lot to do there except beat Texas, which we're pretty good at, am I right? There we go. And so, hey, in Oklahoma, when I was a student there, a game that we would play with my friends, because there was really nothing to do there, so we came up with this game, or we've heard about it, and we wanted to play it, and the game is called Hostage, all right? I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but this game, basically, the short end of the rules is that you break off into two teams, and one team will take two players from the other team, put them in their car, and they become hostages. And so they'll be in the car and they'll be blindfolded and the team is going to drive them out to a remote location and they have 10 minutes to drive them out to this remote location disclosed or undisclosed location. And they have to literally drop them off and they put them there. And then once they're dropped off, they can take the blindfolds off and they have to figure out how to get back. All right. So pretty crazy. I know. I hated being the hostage because what I know about scary movies is you never separate from the pack, right? You always stick together. You know, you're always screaming at the TV because you know the point is to stick together. And so we play this game, and really the whole purpose of the game is to get somebody as lost as possible. And so we'd have fun with it. We'd drop people off. Literally one time, we dropped two people off at a abandoned sewage plant. And they were next to this sewage plant. And their whole goal was to make their way back. And the only way they could get back is with a cell phone to call and to look at street signs. And so that's the only way they could get back. And they called their team and have to drive them back to campus. And the quickest team to get back would win. And it would take about 20, 30 minutes. And they'd eventually figure out how to get back. I remember one time we dropped somebody off at a cattle field. And we tried to get them as close as we could to a cow. All right. And just put them right there. As soon as they took the blindfold off, there was a cow right in front of them. And that's the goal is we try to get them as lost as possible where they take that blindfold off and be like, where am I? Right. And so the reason I kind of share that story with you, because I do think it's going to set up our time well, because the goal of that game Hostage was to make someone, as I said, as lost as possible. And I think something we kind of mentioned last night, but in tonight, I believe that our world is trying to get you lost. It's trying to get you as lost as possible. And we believe, as we mentioned yesterday, that the simple truth of what Jesus has to offer us is he gives us a purpose in our life. That our world is full of confusion and misdirection and doesn't know what direction to take. And we believe that God has given us a purpose. And so if you go on any top 50 chart song, like Spotify, you go on there and you look at the top 50 songs. Literally every song is going to be talking about a chorus or a lyric that's just talking about people finding life outside of God. Or people confused of where to find life? Are people not sure what direction they're supposed to take or why they are created? That people are finding life all other places outside of God. So I heard this song the other day. I was reminded of it. It's not a new song, but I thought I'd play it with you guys. I play it for you guys and share it with you. So I want to see if you can recognize this song. It's a small portion of the song. I'm sorry, guys. I know you want to sing the rest of the part, but everyone knows that song, right? Who is it? Taylor Swift, right? Right. Okay, let me just read you that lyric. Because if some of you guys don't know that song, here's what she's saying. She says this. We're happy, free, confused, and lonely at the same time. It's miserable, it's magical. Like, what does that mean? She's saying, we're confused, we're miserable, but we're kind of happy, and we're really not sure who we are or what we're supposed to do. It's basically describing the culture that we live in, that our culture really doesn't have a purpose. And so I believe the greatest tragedy, as we set up our time, the greatest tragedy in life is that you guys would miss out on your purpose. Because if you do not know your purpose, you will always feel out of place. That you will always feel like something is missing in your life. Like, hey, why am I here? Why was I created? What do I have to offer? If you don't know your purpose, if you don't know your direction, if you don't know what God has intended for your life, then you're going to always feel out of place and insecure. That's why it's so important to go to God's word and study what our purpose is. Here's a quote that I love that I'm going to share with you on the front end, but it's by Mark Twain. He says, two most important days in your life. The day you were born and the day you realized why you were born. The two most important days in your life, this day you were born and the day you realized why you were born, because you were made to matter and that God doesn't create anything without a purpose. And so tonight we're going to realize, we're going to go to somebody who will tell us our purpose. And if you're wise, the way that you go learn about your purpose is you go to the person who created it. Like the other day, I saw an infomercial about this. I'm going to show it on the screen. This object that I had no idea what it was. Literally, you look at this picture and you're like, that could be a million different things. It could be a cane. It could be someplace to hold your t-shirts. Like, you probably have no idea what that is. I didn't know what it was. But when I heard them describe it, I heard the man who created it start talking about it. I realized that what it actually is. Literally, this thing is called the Sock Aid. And it's made to help you put on your socks easier. I mean, you got to be super lazy to need help putting on your socks, right? I think some of you guys are probably like, I might want to ask that for Christmas. And that's a problem, okay? Do not ask the sock aid to try to put on your socks as easy as possible. Just do it yourself. But that thing just literally makes no sense. Like, I showed you that picture and you're probably like, I have no idea what it was. And the only way you knew, or the only way I knew is I had to listen to the instruction or listen to the person who created it. And that's what we're going to do tonight, is we're going to go to the person who created us to find out what our purpose is. All right, so if you're with me, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 40. This is going to set up our time tonight. And this passage, it's called the greatest commandment for a reason. You've probably heard of it before. But in this passage, Jesus is going to show us our purpose. Right here, clear as day, tell us our purpose. So we're going to read with me in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. It says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So Jesus is basically summarizing the entire Bible. It's like the cliff notes of the Bible. He's summarizing the Bible and saying, love God and love others. He's giving us a simple and clear purpose for our life. It's clear to do those two things well. He takes 613 Old Testament commands and he puts them down to two, love God and love others. And so tonight we're going to be talking about how you can do that well. What does that mean for your life? and how you can carry out your purpose. And tonight, you guys will learn how you'll walk out of those doors knowing exactly what you were created for. Exactly what you're created for. So if you're taking notes, the first point I want to make is that the purpose of my life is to know the Lord. The purpose of my life is to know the Lord. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 for this next point. Philippians chapter 3 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, because Paul goes on and he starts talking about in verses 1 through 6, he starts listing basically his resume. And he starts talking about how he basically has a Harvard education and he's basically a celebrity among the Pharisees. And he's got all these accomplishments and all these accolades, and he starts listing them in verses 1 through 6. And then he goes on and he says, hey, all these accomplishments are great, but here's what really matters. He goes in and says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So Paul is basically saying everything is lost compared to knowing Christ. And I read that and I'm like, everything? Everything? Popularity? Everything? Comfort? Everything? A new phone? Everything? A relationship? Everything that I can imagine as a great accomplishment pales in comparison to knowing Christ. And this guy, Paul, who's communicating this letter to the church in Philippi, is basically writing a journal entry. And he's saying everything pales in comparison to knowing Christ. This is a guy who used to persecute Christians. This is a guy who used to kill Christians, who threw them in prison for even mentioning Jesus Christ. And then he had one encounter with Jesus, and his life was forever changed. He became the greatest missionary our world has ever seen. That he wrote half of your New Testament. This is a guy who's writing this letter, so we can pay attention. This is a credible source. He's saying, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. So here's what I want you guys to do. Lock in real quick. I want you to answer this question and write it down on your journal. I want you to take a few seconds and write down one thing you want more than anything else. You don't have to tell your friend, just to yourself. What's one thing you want more than anything else? So you can write down, maybe it's accomplishment, an award, or an honor, or a trophy, or something new, whatever you want. What's one thing you want more than anything else? Take a second and write that down. What do you want more than anything else? Like, if I only had this blank, if I only looked this blank, if I only went to this, what would you answer if only I had blank? Write that down. And I love what Paul uses, the language he uses to describe that thing in your mind that you think is worth getting. He says in verse 8, I consider them garbage. Do you guys know what the Greek word for garbage is? He's literally saying it's manure, meaning dung, meaning animal waste. He's saying that list of your greatest accomplishments doesn't compare to a relationship with the living God. That's how crazy the gap is. That should blow your mind. That is crazy. That is absolutely nuts. And I was thinking about this the other day. I had an encounter. We have been potty training my two-year-old, okay? We've been potty training my two-year-old, and you guys were all two once. And I was in the kitchen, and I was making some food. And my son, whenever he has to go to the bathroom, he doesn't give you a warning. He literally just says, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and then he just goes to the bathroom. So wherever he is, he's going right there. So I've been multiple times, I've been peed on, pooped on, because as he says, I'm going to the bathroom, I pick him up and I'm sprinting to the toilet. I'm making haste, right? And he's already finished and it's gone all over my clothes. But what happened in this instance, I was eating lunch. He goes, I'm going to the bathroom. I turn. He goes number two, right on the ground, like just hits the ground, Snickers bar, right on the ground. But at the same, guys, listen, at the same time. My dog. Wait. All right, let me finish. Comes through the door. Eats the Snickers right off the floor. I'm not kidding, guys. Eats it. And the like you're just gagging right now. And the thing about it is, the man didn't even flinch. The dog just kept going. I'm like, are you kidding me? What? Like, he just ate human waste. Like, that's disgusting. Like, a lot of you guys are like, oh, because it's disgusting and it's disturbing, right? My dog just cleaned up that Hershey's Kiss right off the ground. It's disgusting, right? And it's a graphic illustration, I know, but I do think it resonates well with this passage because Paul is really using graphic language to describe the comparison. He's basically saying anything on earth that you could imagine as your greatest accomplishment doesn't compare to one thing, to one simple, clear, truthful thing, and that's knowing Christ. It's knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. So that's the purpose of my life, is to know the Lord. Here's what D.L. Moody says. He says, our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. That's powerful. Succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. And so a lot of things will tell you they matter, but there's one thing that you know every time really does matter. And so I'm going to make this really practical for you guys, okay? So here's what you need to do every single day. Here's what you need to do every single day. Your goal every day should be to love God a little bit more and to know him a little bit more. To love God just a little bit more and to know him a little bit more. So what does that mean for you? That means, hey, just maybe 5 minutes out of my day, I'm just going to read my Bible. 5 minutes out of my day, I'm just going to spend time with God. And maybe after time, that'll grow into 10, into 15. Into 20. But 5 minutes of the day, I'm just going to recognize that there's a God who loves me and that my life, my greatest accomplishments pair in comparison to knowing him. It's simple, but it's true. How can you guys love God a little bit more and know him a little bit more? That's the goal right there. So the purpose of my life is to know the Lord. The second point, as we keep going. The purpose of my life is to enjoy the Lord. And so we're going to be in Psalm 73 for this next point. And I love this passage because it's basically, I think it's written to a teenager. I really do. Because this is something that I think a lot of teenagers will struggle with. And it's a question that this man named Asaph, he wrestles with. And the question is spending time with God a waste of time? Is knowing God a waste of time? He basically asks himself that on repeat. And he begins to look out on people who don't know the Lord. And he goes, maybe they have something that I don't have. And he starts to get curious. And he starts to look out and starts to envy and say, why do people who don't know the Lord or don't do the right things, why do they seem happier than I am? And if you're honest, you've probably asked yourself that question before, or maybe you haven't, but I promise it might happen in your life to where you say, hey, maybe they have something that I don't have. And here's what he says. He goes in Psalm 73, verse 2 and 5, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. I mean, I almost fell away from the Lord. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. And so he's looking out and he starts to look out and just say, man, do they have it better than I have it? He starts to question if spending God or following God is a waste of time. And he starts to wrestle with this. And then he immediately changes his perspective towards the end of the psalm. And I love this verse because it highlights exactly what I'm talking about. He says, those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. Basically saying, they're not going to last long. Those people who don't know the Lord, their happiness is going to run out. It's going to run out quick. And he goes on to say, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I love that. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. And I think Christianity can sometimes have this ugly reputation that it's not that fun, or it's not that exciting, or there's a better life out there for me, or God's just trying to block out my joy or steal my joy or kill life, and I need to go find it somewhere else. It can have this ugly reputation, which is not true, because I think a lot of us know people, know Christians that are not happy, truly. I think we know people that are not happy Christians. And that's not what God has intended for our life. And so I brought on stage an example just to demonstrate this, because I think it is very helpful, an illustration. So I have two things that go on your face, okay? So this first one, does anyone know what this is? The sleep mask, right? So, or a blindfold, whatever you want. The sleep mask, though. And what you do with this mask is you basically throw it over your face, you cover your eyes, and the whole point of this mask is basically to block out everything in your life. But I'll block out the light, make it feel dark so you can go to sleep and so you can get better rest, but it basically blocks out all the light coming in. And so you can't see anything. This other thing I got on stage, it's a case, so you know it's really official, all right? If I can get it open. Oh, no. Okay, here we go. All right, other thing I got on stage, it's official. It also has a wipe with it. But this on stage, does anyone know what these are? Not just any glasses. These are limited edition 3D glasses. Very expensive, that was purchased for me that I could show you guys. I might have to give you them if you want after. But what those 3D glasses do, if you've ever seen a 3D movie, is the whole point of these glasses is to make a better experience. You go in and you watch a 3D movie, and you're not just watching the movie. You feel like you're in the movie, right? You see everything. Everything comes to life. It's brighter. It's bolder. It's more fun to watch. I mean, there's lasers shooting at you, and you're ducking, and you feel like, I'm a part of this thing. It's way more exciting. The whole point of these glasses is to make you have a better experience. And I think a lot of times we think God's handing us this blindfold saying, I'm going to block your joy out. I don't want you to have any more joy. I want to steal your joy. In reality, it's a simple illustration, but I do think it communicates a lot that in reality, life with him is more like 3D glasses, where you get to experience more life and more joy, and you get to be a part of his story. And it's an amazing story, and it's the best story ever told. And that's what Asaph's saying, is that to enjoy the Lord is your purpose. To enjoy the Lord is your purpose. I love what this quote in this movie that was one of my favorite movies. It's called Chariots of Fire. And this guy gets interviewed in this movie. He's an Olympic athlete, and he's a Christian missionary. And basically, he's asked what he does and why he does it. And he says, I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Basically, he's saying, when I'm following the purposes of God, I experience more joy. I experience God's pleasure. The creator of all joy, I experience that joy. Like no movie director would ever make a movie that you would hate, right? That makes no sense. A movie director would create a movie for you to enjoy. The creator would always make something for you to enjoy. And that's what God wants. He wants you to enjoy life, to make the most of your experience here on earth. And so the purpose of our life is to enjoy the Lord. And lastly, I want to close with this as we finish off, is that the purpose of my life is to share the Lord. It's not only to know him, it's not only to enjoy him, but it's to share the Lord with other people. And I think the reality of when we accept Christ is that God just doesn't just take us to heaven. And the reason why is because he has a purpose here on earth to bring more disciples to know him, to bring more people to know him. And here's what Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. So here's what he's saying in this verse. He's saying, The point of my life is simply this, to point to Christ. The point of my life is to point to Christ. And so everything you do, every decision you make, every thought you have, everything that you do, you should always think, hey, am I pointing to Christ in this moment? The way that I'm interacting with my siblings, my parents, and my friends, am I pointing to Christ? The point of my life is simply to point to Christ. And I really want to share with you as we close this story, and we'll be done. And I think it's a powerful story because it's about a teenager. It's about a 12-year-old teenager now named Brooke Bronkowski. And Brooke used her life and made it count. She lived out her purpose. And Brooke, she grew up and she used her babysitting money to buy Bibles for her friends. She started a Bible study with her friends in the community. Like literally, this is true. Local youth pastors around the area would give her Bibles, so she'd just go hand them to her friends because they knew she was living her purpose. She was doing exactly what God called her to do. And she wrote this essay that I want to read, or this little snippet from the essay that's really, really powerful. And here's what she says. It's titled, "Since I Have My Life Before Me." Here's what she says. "I'll live my life to the fullest. I'll be happy. I'll brighten up. I will be more joyful than I've ever been. I'll be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Christ. I will go on adventures and change the world. I will be bold and not change who I really am. I will have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles." Listen to this. She says, "You see, I'll be one of those people who live to be history makers at a young age. Oh, I'll have moments, good and bad, but I'll wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I remember, just good moments, nothing in between, just living my life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who go somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan. Nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I will pray for direction. I'll have my life before me. I will give others the joy I have, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do. I will follow the footsteps of God. I will do my best." That is a 12-year-old girl writing that. And 2 years later with her story, she has a tragic accident. 2 years later, she gets in a car wreck and ends up passing away. And it's sad. And the whole community comes out. 1,500 people. Guys, 1,500 people show up to her funeral. 1,500. And the pastor who gives the message invites others and uses her story to share the gospel. 200 students of her friends, of her peers, accept Christ. They come up to the front and they want to know about this Jesus that she served. They want to know about the purpose that she lived. And then the ushers at that event, at her funeral, gave Bibles. They passed out Bibles to these 200 people. And the Bibles they passed out were Bibles that were stored in Brooke's garage that she was saving to give to her friends. That's a powerful story. 200 people. Imagine that. That's more people that would come to know Christ than anyone would probably have an opportunity to interact with or share the gospel with. 200 people came to know Christ. That's crazy. Because Brooke had an opportunity to live her purpose. And her life wasn't wasted. She used every moment. And God used her story to save 200 people to then go advance this gospel message that we talked about yesterday. And her life wasn't wasted. That's a life on mission. That's how you live a purpose. And you don't have to be 21. You don't have to be 28. You don't have to be married with kids. You don't have to get older to enjoy what God has given you and to live his purpose. It can start now. It can start tomorrow when you walk out these doors and you interact with your peers. It can start. It can start when you walk back home and you want to use your life to count. And so that's our prayer, is that you guys will live your purpose and you understand the clear truth of what God's called you to do. Is to enjoy him, is to know him, and is to share him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would understand how good you are, that you're not trying to block out our joy. You're not trying to kill our joy. That you want to give us more life. Lord, walking with you is the good life. It's where life is found. So I pray that as students understand this message, the simple truth of the gospel. I pray to respond by going out and telling others about an opportunity to know you, the greatest story ever told that never gets old. I pray you'd use us, whatever age we are, to make our life count and not to waste a moment. Lord, we love you. Let's respond in truth. In your name we pray. Amen.